I'm glad not only we have people live with us, we have Facebook live with us this morning, so that's good. Let me take a moment to recap, though, the last few weeks, because today we're wrapping up our series of friendship. Week one, we talked about basically we need friends. Everybody agree with that? We need friends. But friends really need to be face-to-face. I love some of the social media, but friends need to be face-to-face. There's things, tones you can read, facial expressions you can read that you miss when it's only social media. And we need to learn to be open and transparent with our lives. Listen, I'm telling you, you ought to live such good lives as people of God that there is nothing you have to hide. Amen. I don't want to say it real loud because that means I have to do it. That's the way we ought to live. Week two, we talked about different kinds of friends that we really need to allow in our lives. People who see God's potential in us. People who help us find strength when we're weak. And friends that will tell us the truth about us. Last week, we talked about a community of friends. Having that godly community of friends around us, people we can share with. I called them pantry friends last week, if you remember. Learning also within that community, there is great forgiveness. Really, it's with everybody we encounter, but especially among the people of God. We do not hold things. Listen, we're all flawed. We also need a community of friends that stand with us because we all fight battles. We need prayer and support and help. We need to stand together as friends. Well, today in this last message of friendship, today I want to talk about redefining friendships. I've talked about needing them, but there's times we have to redefine them. Now, anyone who's been on Facebook, as I mentioned, knows you can add friends, and so many do just to see how many friends you can get. Anybody have more than 1,000 friends on Facebook? Really? 500 friends? How many only have 5 friends? Okay. You're probably doing the best. But how many have ever had your friends on Facebook maybe become a little annoying? Maybe they post too much, or they go on rants on Facebook. And because you follow them, you get all of that stuff, and you sometimes feel like, I got to do something about it. Well, there's this term that Facebook uses that you can click on, and it's called unfriend. It's literally unfriend them. And when you click unfriend, then you no longer follow them and see what they post, and they just go away. I want to be careful today, though. I'm not telling you that we need to unfriend people. But as you listen today, I do think it's important that we evaluate those who have influence in our lives. And there may be times that we have to redefine our relationships and our friendships. In fact, for those of you who are committed followers of Jesus Christ, I would say that it is imperative at different seasons of your life to reevaluate and possibly redefine certain relationships in your life, especially in order for you to continue on the right path with God. Children, as you're listening today, you're going to have friends that you're going to have to walk through life with, and you're going to have to redefine some of those. You're going to have to figure out who is a real friend. Why do we need to do this? Well, if you show me your friends, I will show you your future. You show me the people that you spend most of your time with, and I'll show you the direction or the trajectory of your life. Proverbs 13:20, Solomon reminds us once again, walk with the wise and become what? Wise. How many would like to be wise? Then what are you going to have to do? Walk with the wise. Associate with fools and what? In other words, you hang out with wise people, you get wiser. You hang out with a bunch of fools and you'll become more foolish. Listen to Proverbs 12:26. Speaks directly to what I want to talk to you today about. The righteous choose their friends carefully, but the way of the wicked leads them astray. Everybody read that with me this morning. The righteous choose their friends carefully, but the way of the wicked leads them astray. What does a righteous person do? Chooses their friends carefully. In the Hebrew, actually, the first part of this verse is just three Hebrew words. And reason is because different translations kind of translate this different. So I'm like, well, I need to go back to see what the original is saying. And in all honesty, I think NIV is probably about the closest to what I can in my study. Transliterated, the Hebrew words are tzaddik, the first one, meaning a just person, a J-U-S-T person, a person who does the right thing, a righteous person. The second word is tur, meaning to seek out, to explore, make search of like a merchant. It kind of gives it that connotation that it's someone seeking out something to buy and with wisdom. And or to just choose carefully. And the third word is re'ah, meaning simply a friend, a neighbor, or a companion. In other words, if I could put it in my words, a righteous person will seek out or search for with wisdom a friend or a companion. Understand this, we are going to meet people by chance. Have you ever met somebody by chance? It happens in life. But we deepen our friendships by choice. We are going to run into people all through our life, but the righteous people choose to deepen their relationships by choice. The righteous choose their friends carefully, but what do the wicked do? But the way of the wicked leads them astray. So here is a key thought for today, and I'll repeat it a few times. It is impossible to live the right life when you have the wrong friends. Everybody say that with me. Excuse me. It is impossible to live the right life when you have the wrong friends. It's absolutely impossible over the course of your life to really live a God-honoring life if you do not have God-honoring friends. Listen to the way Paul the Apostle puts it in 1 Corinthians 15:33. He says, "Do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character." Let me back up. Why did Paul say, "Do not be misled"? Let's go to that first. I'll tell you why. Because it's easy to be misled. Now, some think, well, I'm impervious to being misled. That would never happen in my life. I'm telling you right now, if you do not know how easy it is to be misled, why don't you just watch the news channels? Watch several news channels who are reporting the same story, okay? Listen to their spin on the story, because each one is trying to get you to believe their version of the story, of the what they think is truth, to make you think what they think. And who knows really which one has the most truth, but they want you to bend your thinking to their thinking. And I'm telling you, you don't have to watch very much to realize you can be misled. I wish they would just tell me the facts and let me figure it out. But everything's about their spin today. That's why Paul clearly tells us, do not be misled. It's easy to be misled. And then he gives us this verbiage that helps us understand about a certain part of our lives. Bad company corrupts good character. You cannot live the right life when you have the wrong friends. And so I have a question for you. Are your friends driving you closer to God or away from God? Church, we desperately need to stay away from people who tempt us to live the wrong way. Listen at the foundation of this teaching today, at the bottom of it, the principle is this. If you are a committed follower of Christ, then your inner circle of friends, those who are your core friends, who influence you the most, must also be committed followers of Christ. It's not that we don't have other friends, but those key ones need to be followers of Christ, because that is where you're going to get your strength. That's where you're going to get your encouragement. They're the ones who are going to love you through everything, but they're also the ones who are willing to correct you when you're wrong. You see, when you're surrounded by the right people, your spiritual roots will grow deep. And the deeper your roots, the more solid you will be, and the more you'll be able to bear the fruit of the Spirit. You can bear the love, the joy, the peace, the patience, the goodness, the kindness, the gentleness, the faithfulness, and the self-control. But that can only happen when your inner circle of friends is made up of the right people. Now, of course, Jesus is our perfect and greatest example. Amen? He demonstrates how we're to live our life. I'm glad he became flesh and dwelt here and walked out his life, because we can look at his life. For instance, I want you to know he loved everyone equally. Anybody agree with that? But he did not treat everyone equally. Let me say it again so you don't misunderstand. Jesus loved everyone equally. He unconditionally loved everybody, but he did not treat everyone equally. Now, let me qualify that statement. Understand, Jesus only recruited 12 men to follow him in ministry. He chose 12 disciples, not 15, not 25, not 50. And of the 12 he chose, he intentionally spent time with three of them rather than all of them. Let me show you a few places. At the Mount of Transfiguration, how many remember that story? Well, here's two verses from it. After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, and led them up to a high mountain by themselves. Where are the other nine? If you keep reading the story, they're at the bottom of the mountain. There, he, Jesus, was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. But it was those three that he chose to go with him that got to see that incredible sight. Another time, if you remember, Jairus' daughter was sick, and they were trying to get him to go to the house. And when Jesus, and then they come and tell him, the daughter's dead. And when Jesus arrives at the house in Mark 5:37, it tells us that Jesus stopped the crowd and wouldn't let anyone go with him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. And then when they got to the house, he sent everybody else out of the house except for the three disciples that were with him. In the Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus asked Peter, James, and John, "Would you go just a little further with me and pray with me?" Jesus had a different relationship with Peter, James, and John than he did with the other nine. Yet he loved them all equally, but he didn't treat them all equally. Listen, we are going to have people in our lives that are closer than others. And there are going to be those that we allow to speak deeper into our lives than others. All relationships are not the same, but we have to choose carefully who we will allow to influence our life. Let me say it once again. It's impossible to live the right life when you have the wrong friends. There's a good chance that there are those probably in this place today, and maybe who are listening to the message online, that you might need to redefine some of the influences in your life. It could be that there are those who, you call them a friend, but they're incredibly negative towards you, or they criticize you with everything you do. I want you to know today, if you keep listening to that, you're going to become less of what God desires you to be. And you need to redefine that relationship. It could be there have been friends, so-called friends out there tempting you to do something that doesn't honor God. You need to redefine those relationships. It could be somebody introducing you to values that oppose the values of God. You need to simply redefine those relationships. Bottom line is, you don't have to let everyone in your inner circle. The righteous choose their friends carefully. And that's what we need to do. In redefining those relationships, I want to give you three nevers that will help you. Ready? Number one is this. Never let friends distract you from God's plan. Everybody say that with me. Never let friends distract you from God's plan. This happened between Jesus and Peter. Peter was one of those three in the inner circle. But Jesus had to address Peter at one point. He was trying to distract Jesus from God's plan. It may have been that Peter actually had good intentions. He thought he might have been doing the right thing. Jesus was telling all the disciples, listen, I'm going to have to die and then I will be raised to life. But this is what we read in Matthew 16:22. But Peter took him, speaking of Jesus, aside and began to reprimand him for saying such things. Heaven forbid, Lord, he said. This will never happen to you. Peter was like, no, that can't happen to you. I've got plans for you. You cannot die. If we're going to have a king, the king needs to be alive. But Jesus turns to Peter in verse 23. It says, Jesus turned to Peter and said, get away from me, Satan. You are a dangerous trap to me. You are seeing things merely from a human point of view, not from God's. Now, let me start with this suggestion. If you need to make a point to a friend like that, you might not want to call him Satan. But if you need to, you know, the key is you need to be clear. Even if they have good intentions, listen, if what they say does not line up with God's word and what God is doing in your life, then it is not of God and you need to quit listening to them. You have to tell them, no, I'm not going to let you distract me from what God is doing in my life. Some will do it this way. Well, you go to church too much. Or you're too stiff in your morals. Listen, I can tell you this. That is exactly what Satan would want to tell you. Because bad company corrupts good character. And you need to make this kind of commitment in your life with the friends that you have that you will never let friends distract you from God's plan. Number two, never let friends continually tempt you to sin. Now, you may love your friend, but you can't let them drag you down. An example I want to use is from the Old Testament in the life of Samson. He befriended this girl, and you know her name. What was her name? Delilah. He should have never had that friendship. But here's what she did. She kept tempting him to betray the secret of his strength. And Samson flirted with the idea of telling her until actually one day he did. And he lost his strength because of it. It stole the very thing that God gave him to fulfill his call. Listen to Judges 16:20. This is right after Delilah cuts off his hair. Here it is. Then she called, Samson, the Philistines are upon you. He awoke from his sleep and thought, I'll go out as before and shake myself free. But listen to this. But he did not know that the Lord had left him. He flirted so long and was tempted so long that he did not realize what was happening in his life. So much so that he didn't even know the Lord had left him. I don't want that to happen to you. Be sure, never let friends continually tempt you to sin. Church, you may need to redefine those friendships if they're tempting you to fall into sin. You need to carefully choose who's a part of your inner circle. And when you have those friends, I'm going to tell you, always keep checking to see if they're distracting you or whether they're tempting you. Number one, never let friends distract you from God's plan. Number two, never let friends continually tempt you to sin. There's one more thought. Number three, never, ever stop loving people with the unconditional love of Jesus Christ. When you think about it, Jesus, he did not unfriend sinners. He befriended sinners. Sinners did not bother Jesus because he knew where his influence came from. He spent time with God the Father. Read about it all the times he withdrew away so he could go and pray. He was careful also about who was in his inner circle. And he did not let them distract him from God's plan. He never let them tempt him to sin. But by the way, he never ever stopped loving them. Remember when Peter denied him? He never stopped loving him. Listen to what God is calling us to do in John 13, verse 34. So now I'm giving you a new commandment. Love each other. Just as I have loved you, you should love each other. Verse 35. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. Our command is to do what? Simply, love one another. We never, ever stop loving people. At the heart of this teaching and this commandment, it comes from that we are to love the Lord our God first with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And when we do that, you become rooted deep and that's where your love begins to come from. We love because he first loved us. Now listen, we have to choose our friends carefully. Anybody agree with that? It's biblical. And some people may not understand that because of who you're selecting. But on the other hand, they always need to see and understand that you love every person, no matter who they are. But we have to guard those influences in our life. Why? Because it's impossible to live the right life when you have the wrong friends. Say that with me again. It is impossible to live the right life when you have the wrong friends. We need to surround ourselves with the right friends. Today, maybe if you're sitting here and you realize that God's showing you that you have an unhealthy inner circle around your life, and even though you love them, and you'll continue to love them, you may need to redefine those relationships in light of what God wants to do in your life. And by the way, and who knows, in choosing to live for Jesus the way you should, that just might be the influence they need to follow Jesus the way they should. Today, I'm not asking you to unfriend people, but I'm asking you to redefine your relationships if needed and understand how much do your friends influence your life. Why? So that you are not misled. If you think you've got friendships that need to be redefined today, then maybe you can believe and pray this with me this morning. Heavenly Father, If we need to redefine friendships in our lives today, I pray that you would show us when to do it and how to do it. And God, we will trust you with the results of that. Holy Spirit, would you lead us? And Father, we want you pleased with our friendships. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Also, whether you're here online and you're listening today and you've not accepted Jesus as your Savior, I encourage you to do so today. Jesus died on a cross so we could be forgiven of our sins. He rose again so that anyone who calls on his name would be saved. And as you look at your life and all those places where you've messed up, I want you to know he will forgive you. All of those dreams that you have, and I want to be a blessing to others, God will help you fulfill those dreams. But you need to let him master your life with his Holy Spirit and with his word. And if that's you today, would you pray with me and say, Heavenly Father, forgive me of my mistakes and make me brand new. I believe Jesus died for me. And I believe he rose again. So fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me follow you for the rest of my life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. So church, as we wrap this up, I want to remind you, and I'm going to repeat the three again because I really want you to begin to think this way. And I know, as the children sit with us today, I didn't have illustrations of things, but write these down for your children and talk them through with your children, and not just this week, but maybe monthly, and remind them. Number one, never let friends distract you from God's plan. If you don't know what God's plan is, begin to read his word. Don't forsake the assembly of yourselves together. Love one another, care about each other, be kind, right? I mean, it's just loaded with ways that we're supposed to live God's plan out in our life. Number two, never let friends continually tempt you to sin. I'm not saying that friends don't get caught up in a moment, but don't let it continually be there. Somewhere you have to draw a line in the sand. You know, the first time it's like, you pull them back because you're their friend. And hopefully, if it's you, they'll pull you back in line. That's where friends help each other. But so crucial is number three. Because when you begin to be selective in your life, others may see that as you're not loving people. And I can remind you today, and you've got to walk it out, never, ever stop loving people with the unconditional love of Jesus Christ. You've got to walk that out with everybody you encounter. But choose your friends carefully. Amen? Amen. Well, listen, I will pray over you and release you, and we'll get ready for second service. Thank you for joining us online. Thank you for joining us in person. And you've got a whole day ahead of you to keep living for Jesus. Amen? Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you for your love. Thank you for your peace. I pray a blessing over your people, that you would watch over their lives. And Lord, give us wisdom. We want to become wise. So help us walk with the wise. And Lord, help us to choose our friends carefully. Those who influence us, speak in our lives so that we are not misled. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you and have a Jesus-filled week. Amen.